Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Nick, it's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode, I wasn't ready again this week, 57?
Probably not.
58? 59? It's 57. I know it's 57. Jeff Lowe, Trill Bollins, Ken Jack, not at Ken Jack yet, but we're securing that account.
Getting there.
Yeah, get off Twitter, at Ken Jack.
Fucker.
Need that account.
I love the Smokin' handle. That guy hasn't tweeted since 11.
Mine hasn't tweeted since 2008 or ever, period. He joined in 2008 and never touched the account.
Sitting on these accounts. I got to bring something back up. We closed a podcast a few weeks ago talking about how I love gas station egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Gas station egg rolls are still delicious.
Oh, you fuck.
Still
they
so
look,
good.
They look good.
They're good.
Okay, so I'm half on your side, half on Ken Jack's side. I'm half on Ken Jack's side because I expect them to be like almost repulsive, but like in a way that's like degrading to your... I guess, like, your own image. But I'm on your side where they do look very tasty.
It's like Death Sticks from Star Wars.
Just that addictive. I swear they're the same egg rolls you get at Panda Express. They just come, like, out of the Schwann box. And except at the gas station, they put them on the roller grill. That's which I will admit is unappetizing. But I'm about the outcome and not the process.
That's a huge except. If you say, like, it's just like this really good thing, except that it's just like this very, very bad thing.
Okay, well, I just needed to confess that I'm still on these gas station egg rolls. Yeah. They're delicious. Delicious, I tell you.
No free ads.
No. Well, we didn't mention the place, so.
The brand of egg rolls is a very big brand of egg rolls. Oh, that just happens to be at that gas station.
Not saying it then.
It's men.
There it is. There's the free ad. There is the free ad. All right.
Whoops.
So this week, a little different show this week. We're going to jam-pack a couple things into the show. News, some really funny news, by the way. Can't wait to get to news. Then we're going to review Incredibles 2. We all really liked it, so that's one of those movies where I'm not really sure how long we'll talk about it, because we just loved it. And then we're going to do a little thing that we did on Sunday, which characters have had sex. You at home voted for your thoughts, and we'll debate our opinions. And then we're going to do a few more listener questions, because we didn't get to too many last week. Let's start it out, though. News. Biggest news of the day, hands down, not even close. This is the movie news, you know, making its way around the world. Gotti. The John Gotti movie starring John Travolta. We talked about it on Sunday's show. It, on Rotten Tomatoes, is still at a zero, right?
Yeah.
Is it still a zero for the... I just want to make sure I'm not wrong.
I mean, I checked it like maybe at 12 or 1 when I finished blogging it, and it was still a zero.
Okay, so it's at 0% of Rotten Tomatoes. It's not making much money at the box office. I'll pull up Box Office Mojo right now. Good website.
It's 1.7 million.
1.7
right
million for Gotti, okay? Audience score, 70%. Okay, you know, like, that's not crazy. Not too... I mean, 0% critics, 70% audience... Not crazy, because there can't be many audience reviews, right? Wrong. There are almost 7,000. There are 9 audience reviews away from having 7,000 user ratings. Okay, now if that doesn't mean much to you, Incredibles 2 has 7,600 user ratings. Ocean's 8, which made a decent amount of money, 4,000 744 user ratings. There are more for Gotti. So the story today is that, is Gotti, the people who are behind Gotti, rigging Rotten Tomatoes? And some people made like some deep dives into this. Kenjack, you wrote a blog about it. And people were finding that there are a lot of like brand new accounts in there, similar to The Last Jedi. Because this happened with The Last Jedi. People were thinking, are they rigging the audience score? Like, it's crazy how different it is in the critic score, which it's now up for debate because enough people dislike it. But there were some crazy accounts in the audience score that were like just reviewing one movie ever. And apparently that's happening for Gotti, but in the reverse. And this one is, I think, a lot easier to figure out if they're, or whether it's they're doing it or not, I don't know, but something's fishy, because unlike The Last Jedi, where a ton of people saw it and a lot of people, you know, did dislike it, this is like very bizarre.
Yeah.
This is very strange, and it sticks out like a sore thumb. And the other thing that they're saying is they're doing this for marketing reasons, because the Gotti Twitter account is out there telling everyone, like, you know, don't listen to the trolls, don't listen to the critics, listen to the fans, look what the fans are rating this movie. They did like interviews with people in the theater. They are touting the Rotten Tomatoes audience score, which was up to like an 84 at one point today. Kenjack, you gave it a zero. You did not like it. It's not good. Like, it's not good at all, right?
Yeah, first showing, definitely a not good movie. Gave it a second whirl. I'm still, you know, I think I gave it a little turnaround, though, right?
You're back to 100. That's true.
Back to 100.
You did give it 100, and we did officially submit Gotti for consideration with all awards at the Academy Awards. But again, let's get back to the point here, is that this is crazy, right, Trill? Like, Kenjack and I have discussed it all day. What are your thoughts on this? This is wild.
I kind of like the move, because we've talked briefly about it before, talking about how Rotten Tomatoes is a source that I think folks rely on too much, and it's easily manipulated and potentially easily gamed. And that's maybe what you're seeing right now. I don't want to point fingers on it at anyone, but if they're doing that for marketing purposes, it's genius, because something my dad would say, going back to the Father's Day conversation, is, yeah, the critics hated it, which means I'll probably like it.
No.
Something like everyone's parents would say, I feel like. So putting that tilt on the movie, not a bad idea. But we're seeing the box office mojo numbers. Not sure how much of that is really helping. And what do we got coming out this weekend?
Jurassic World.
We got Jurassic World coming out
very soon, too.
We got a small window for folks to really conceptualize and internalize these Gotti ratings and go to the theater to actually see it. So I'm not sure how effective it's going to be, but I do appreciate the gaming of the system to some extent.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, especially in today's like world. It's very smart, I think, to play into populism and just be like, yeah, well, the regular like blue collar lunch pail guys, they all love this. So the critics don't, they're just elitist and you should ignore them. So I think that's a smart marketing ploy. But it's very transparent when you look at it. I think the best comparison for it right now is Incredibles. Gotti went out to 500 theaters total and made $1.7 million, right, in 3 days. Incredibles went out to 4,400 theaters and has made $180 million. And somehow, they're only a few hundred user reviews apart. Like, just in this, as far as, like conceptually, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you can draw your own conclusions. I'm not saying, like, that they did do something or they didn't do anything. But, like, you just look at those numbers and there's almost no way you can't think that they did spike the system. And like you said, it just very much, like, goes to show you how easily manipulated the Rotten Tomatoes system is, which is why hopefully soon we can have something new to replace it.
Yeah, we don't like Rotten Tomatoes. That's very obvious. And this is why. It's incredibly manipulated, easily manipulated.
Moral question. Whether they did or did not do this, let's put that aside. Theoretically, if somebody did do this, is this ethically sound to manipulate audience reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, or is it savvy marketing?
For a movie like this, I'm just going to call it savvy marketing. If they did it. If they did it. Now, if a big budget movie did it, I'd say that's really... I mean, it's okay. It's obviously incredibly ethically wrong and morally wrong. It's wrong and it's dumb. However, for a small movie like this, I kind of, like you said, Drew, I kind of respect it.
Yeah, grassroots guerrilla marketing.
Like, that's, like, it's pretty fucking smart if that's what they did.
If, like, a Daniel Day-Lewis did this, it would be so fucked up. But it's like you're saying, yeah. It's like a fucking John Travolta mob.
No, like, if Ant-Man and the Wasp, good example, or yeah. Jurassic World. We'll say Jurassic World because we know Jurassic World has a bad rating right now around Rotten Tomatoes, and people are kind of on the fence about it. If they did it, I'd say that's ridiculous. Like, you had the money, you had the opportunity. Gaudi is a disaster, or so people say.
I think you're right. Like, ethically, it's probably bad because it's pretty much if theoretically this were to happen, it would be misleading. But also at the same time, you know, gaming an internet site, which is somewhat of a social media site that relies on like audience users and kind of exposing the flaws behind that system, I think, and maybe bringing some light to that, may not be the worst thing. So I don't know. I'm not the brightest mind to handle this question, but at the same time, like, yeah, if you're a smaller movie and you see the opportunities there and it's a gray area, then like take it, I guess. But I don't know if I'm going to see it. I don't know if that 70% of bots or whatever, real users, is going to get me to see it, allegedly.
There were about 20 million people. I'm rough on my calculations, who went and saw, 20 million tickets purchased, I think, if you do like $10 a ticket for Avengers Infinity War. And there were 44,000 reviews. And Gaudi, it's like 160,000 tickets, and there are there's almost 7,000.
Makes sense.
Crazy. I mean, the story is wild. It's a hilarious story. We love it. And the whole them on Twitter, don't listen to movie trolls. Listen to the audience. I love that. Like, it's wild. It's a fun story, at least, you know. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's so many shitty stories in Hollywood these days with, like, you know, the Me Too movement or just, like, you know, gender stuff. And it's just, like, it's kind of depressing sometimes. This is a hilarious story. In terms of, like something considered negative, this is at least funny. Like, we can make fun of this. This is funny to talk about.
Yeah, it's like being caught and then denying it. And then we still don't know if they actually did it because there's not a way to know. I mean, I don't know if they did it. It sure seems suspicious, but I'm not here to accuse anyone.
And it's not illegal. It's just incredibly immoral.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing illegal here. Unless, like, there's some law, like Rotten Tomatoes law, we're not aware of. I don't think there is, but...
Your Honor. A Land Before Time 8 has been manipulating audience reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Bring this case forward.
So that's the Gaudi movie. I'm going to see it. I'm sure Trill's going to try and see it if it is in a theater nearby him. But for now, if you see it, let us know what you think. The whole concept of the thing is it's hilarious. Next up, a movie that won't have any issue making money, Wonder Woman 2. We didn't get to talk about this the other day, I think because I just literally forgot. It's one of those stories that comes out at a weird time, and we don't get a real chance to talk about it on our Sunday pod. But some images and some stuff came out about Wonder Woman 2 within the last week. Wonder Woman 84, it's set in 1984. I'm not totally sure of the name. But you see Diana. She's in 1984, around some 1984-looking people. But the big thing there that surprised people was Steve Trevor. One, Steve Trevor is still alive, Chris Pine's character. And apparently they said it is the real Steve Trevor. And then, of course, there's that set video of Gal Gadot running, which is fucking awesome. Like, she is flying. Some people were like, oh, she's on a string. Fuck you, no matter what. Like, I don't care, like, if she's on a string or not. Like, it's still an awesome video. Looks like a complete badass. So, thoughts on the new Wonder Woman stuff, especially the Steve Trevor thing. I mean, is that... That's got to be time travel, right? Like, there's no real other explanation for that other than it being time travel.
Or magic. It could be magic. Like, resurrection, immortality magic.
Yeah. Greek god magic.
Like, something from Krypton. They want to do a crossover, blessing him with immortal life after his death or whatever. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about the setting. We've talked about nostalgia here before. I'm a big sucker for 80s and 90s nostalgia, so I like that element of it. I like anything that shows behind the scenes. I wish we got to see more of that. I know why they don't release too much of that stuff, especially for these big budget comic book movies. They don't want to reveal that much, but it's fun to see like videos of Gal Gadot. And I think that was actually her. I don't know if it was her stunt double or not.
I'm pretty sure it was her.
Flying down the street, like you're saying, even though it's on a wire, like just the way they're making it and the way it looks really cool. And a period piece too, so they have all the 80s cars in there.
Yeah,
I've always wondered about that. That'd be good interview to get somebody who does props Like, do they just have lots of pristine 80s cars, or do they put out a call to people who, like,
are, collectors,
you know, collectors to, you know, rent their cars for the movie? I don't know. I've always, like, that's always been the most, like, magical thing about period pieces for me, is, like, how do they get pristine looking late model cars in these movies? I'm sure the answer is a lot more simple than I'm making up my head.
It's probably very hard to find, like, a pristine, like, 1985 Gremlin or something. I mean, I don't think that's an easy feat by any means. I think that probably not magic. If I had to guess, imagine they just made him frozen and he was just frozen in ice, just
and
like
people
Captain
already
America.
Said the last one was similar to Captain America as it was.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be really funny. I think the running scene was really cool. I think any superhero movie running scene usually is like an auto butter for me. Like in Infinity War, when Captain America and Black Panther run ahead of the entire crowd and they're very fast. So cool. In Civil War, when they're all running down the highway and they're all going faster than the cars. Very cool. In Captain America, when he first learns how to run really fast and he crashes into buildings.
He runs like that in Avengers too. Where he's running down. He's like jumping over the blown up police car. So yeah, seeing Wonder Woman do that type of shit would be really cool. It'll be neat.
I want to see
physical stuff too.
I want to see a promotional image of Cheetah, Kristen Wiig's character.
Yeah,
good point.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah,
Steve Trevor was a big drop, but I want to see the design of the Cheetah character. Be real interested in that one.
Is that why they said in the 80s, just because Cheetah print was hot?
Maybe it's an 80s villain. I actually don't know much about the villain, which I do always like when that happens, when I'm not totally aware of a villain. Because I might have no expectations. But maybe. I don't know.
The villains from Despicable Me 3, who was like an 80s child star, stuck in the 80s. Kristen Wiig was in that one, too.
She was. That's right, yeah.
Gru's love interest. So that's Wonder Woman 2. Last bit of real movie news. Sonic the Hedgehog in the Sonic movie is apparently going to be a juvenile delinquent. I don't really know where to leap off with this one, but is that a storyline you like with Sonic the Hedgehog? He's a delinquent, a juvenile delinquent.
I've always thought Sonic was... I don't know what age I've always thought Sonic to be, but in my mind... he was somewhere equivalent to the human age of 22.
I always thought, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was, you know, a younger adult. So knowing Sonic is now a youth might change my opinion of this movie a little more. Well, you know, into the youth culture, like EDM and the, what did the Sony executive say? Like the Tough Mudder?
Yeah, Tough Mudder.
Tough Mudders.
YOLO.
LaCroix, just popping LaCroix off.
Well, I always viewed him as the same age as like Mario and Luigi, because he was kind of the counter to Mario and Luigi from Sega. So I viewed him like that, but delinquent, young. He's a young gun.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right?
How old is Mario? How old do you think Mario is?
How old?
50. Well, how old was Bob Hoskins when they did that movie?
60.
No, I don't think Mario's 50. I think Mario is like 35.
You don't grow a mustache like that as a plumber if you're 35, I don't think.
Baby Mario had a mustache, dog.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but Baby Mario was just a smaller version of Big Mario.
That's what a baby is.
He was 51.
He's the same age.
Bob Hoskins was 51 when he played Mario.
Yeah, see? 50-year-old plumber.
Though, I will say, I'm not sure that Mario movie is canon.
Oh, it's very canon. I'm not sure. Good old John Lasagna and Bob Hoskins. R.I.P. That's like the fifth time that we've had an R.I.P. Bob Hoskins.
How do you say
Hoskins.
His name? Shigeru Miyamoto? Is that how you say his name? The Nintendo
Miyamoto.
Guy?
Yeah.
He says Mario's 24. He looks like shit.
Yeah, he looks like garbage if he's 24.
He looks terrible for 24.
Well, I think it's just the mustache and the weight. Him without a mustache definitely looks 24.
He's pretty portly. Well, then Luigi's his younger brother then, right? So Luigi's even younger.
Heck yes. I don't know. Look, also need to say R.I.P. Dennis Hopper.
Yes.
It was King Koopa in that movie, I guess.
I totally forgot about that.
I don't know how they decided on that one, but the early 90s were a weird time. Before we really had good computer graphics, but we had enough computer graphics to at least be ambitious about some stuff and really pull it off with this one.
Yeah.
Now, is Wario older?
He's
like, no way Wario's younger than 40.
I'll just look all these up. How old is Wario? Where does it
There's a WarioForums.com. Are you on the same side I am? This is amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
What is Wario's age? This is so we are going to do a Reddit in a second. Because we forgot to do one last week. But somebody said they've always thought Wario is between 35 to 40 years old. People seem to think he's just old.
Yeah, he looks like crap. I don't think Mario looks all that bad.
Yeah, Wario does look like shit.
Yeah, Wario has like the bags under his eyes and stuff like that. And Mario would be fresh-faced with that mustache shaved off. Maybe he drops a few pounds.
User Crescent Moon Villager says very emphatically, Wario is in his early 40s.
Has to. I mean, I believe that. Yeah. They're not related to Wario and Luigi, right? Wario and Waluigi?
Who, Wario?
Yeah, Wario and Waluigi. They're not actually related to Mario and Luigi, right?
All right, Google again. Are Wario and Mario related? It's like the first thing.
I mean, I hope not based off most of the DVR.
It was once stated in Nintendo Power magazines that Wario is the cousin of the Mario brothers, but he has never been confirmed. However, he also shares a mysterious relationship with Waluigi. Just a real mysterious relate. Like, likely theory is that he is his brother, though not confirmed.
Do you remember the Mario Tennis screenshots where like something looked like a crotch outline for Luigi, and people were speculating on the size of his dong?
That's right. Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to review Incredibles 2, or excuse me, The Incredibles 2. Got to be correct there. What are we going to do? A little skit here? What are we doing? Are we doing a skit now, or is this going to be one of those top 10 skits? Tro, you make the call.
Let's do a top 10 skit.
All right, we'll do that after. We'll be right back.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers for the post motion picture soundtrack, take one. Writing papers in the state of California. Hey, look, guys, I love the song so far. Great jam. But no, one big problem. The post is not in California. It's in Washington, D.C. It's a fairly well-known story. So do you think maybe we could just alter the lyrics a little bit? Okay, great.
Writing papers in the District of Columbia. Hanks works for the Post, but Streep is just the owner. Writing and publishing stories in the Post. Sure to piss off Nixon, a president from California.
Ah, fuck it. Good enough.
Okay, we're back. Incredibles 2 from Pixar. Pixar. They do it again, folks. Incredibles 2, incredibly high rating. Sorry, no pun intended. Making a lot of money. People very happy. It's a sequel. 14 years in the making?
Mm-hmm.
14 years in the making. Ken Jack and I saw it together. We saw it with Robbie. We loved it. Saw an IMAX 2D. Rotten Tomatoes, 94%. Critics, 7.8 out of 10. Audience, 88% approval, 4.3 out of 5. People like it. Fun movie. I gave it a 91. The amazing thing about Pixar is, despite a 91 out of 100, it comes in at number 12 on my Pixar rankings.
Jeez.
I mean, like, not that far away, because Coco is number 6, and that has a 93. Very close. It's a very good movie. But it's just, you know, that's Pixar. A top 12 can be that good. And then after that, it starts to fall off. I liked Incredibles 2. I thought there was a couple things here and there that they might have could have freshened up a little bit. That was the difference between it being, you know, top 12 and top maybe 5 or 6, because it was really close to being one of the better Pixar movies. It had a shot at that. But, you know, I mean, you gotta remember where you came from. They rehashed a couple things, but otherwise, just delightful. Very funny and a complete blast. In a movie you see in theaters, it looks incredible. Oh, my God, I said it again. Fuck. It looks amazing. There you go. No pun at all. I think the special effects are some of the best in any Pixar movie. And I love what Brad Bird does with, like, the 1960s look, but futuristic. It's incredible to look at. And, oh, my God, I did it again. What the fuck? I'm really not trying to have puns here. But that's why I'm glad we saw an IMAX 2D, because it was a beautiful job. And, you know, we sometimes bring up how movies don't look really good, but the last two Pixars, this and Coco, man, they leap off the screen. I loved it. Awesome movie. I mean, if you haven't seen it, run to go see it. This is one of those run to go see it movies. Tro, what about you?
I loved it, too. Gave it a 90. Instead of saying too much about it, I made up some Gene Shalit type quotes to run by you guys for my non-spoiler review. So, folks, Incredibles 2, I had an incredible. Folks, Incredibles 2, Brad Bird's the word. Incredibles 2, folks, a Craig T. Full Nelson of fun. Incredibles 2, Dash into the theater, folks. Incredibles 2. Pix, are you kidding me? This movie was incredible. That's it.
Okay.
It's great takes.
That's good. That'll be in one of their commercials for sure. It's going to be Trill Ballin says it's Pix, are you kidding me?
Pix, are
my,
you
my deleted
me?
One was Vile, let me see it again.
Oh, that was rough.
The voice cast of this movie is incredible. Oh, fuck.
I'll take over from here.
The voice cast is great, though.
Voice cast is great.
And we'll get into how weird some of the, like, the voice... Like, when you see some of who is actually behind the voice cast, it's crazy.
Yeah. I gave it a 93 out of 100. I thought it was really fun, very much well worth the wait, which is, I think, what a lot of us were afraid of. It's definitely not as good as the first. It's tough to recreate that magic, though. I think they borrowed a lot of elements from that first one. I would have liked more originality out of it, and I would have liked better dialogue, because sometimes the dialogue seemed to not be going anywhere, and it just seemed like out of place, which is sort of what I loved about Incredibles 1, because everything was very cohesive and synergetic. Like, there was a lot of synergy between the lines. There's no, like, wasted points throughout the entire movie. And at this point, you definitely felt like there's some lines or some sequences where you're like, I don't know what I'm gaining here, if that makes sense. So I think I would have appreciated a better editing job and maybe a slightly more original plot line. But other than that, so fun. Like you said, Jeff, the animation was incredible. And I'm using that very much as a pun. It was insane. And you know how they showed that one clip of it from, like, when they dropped the first trailer and they showed, like, the fibers on the T-shirt? And, like, you could see it on the screen in the IMAX 2D. You could, like, see, like, the attention to detail that they put into everything, not just the clothing, but, like, water, explosions, action sequences. It was insane. It was such a wild ride. And if you haven't seen it yet, you definitely have to. It's a must watch.
Loved it. Listeners gave it a 91. Kendrick gave it a 93. Trill a 90, myself a 91. Spoiler time. There's not a lot of spoilers. Like, you can't really spoil it too much, but just because we're nice, we'll pause here for spoilers.
To avoid spoilers for The Incredibles 2, skip to 36:25. Also, for those wondering, I'm currently watching Guy's Grocery Games.
All right. Incredibles 2. Spoilers. Like I said before, loved it. Fantastic script. I also said in my review it hits every beat. I think it doesn't have a lull. There's not one, like, moment where you're like, oh, this is dragging a little bit. Like, everything it tries to do, it nails, which is why it's a movie that everyone loves right now. It's just great. But what about the villain? I think that's the big thing. The villain is something that people said is a little predictable. I did predict it.
It wasn't hard.
It was not very hard.
They telegraphed it very heavily.
They did telegraph the villain a lot, which they didn't. Which I guess at the same time, though, Incredibles, it's not like there was a secret villain. Like, you knew who the villain was. You know, like, they telegraphed that too. So it didn't bother me. But, you know, in terms of spoilers here, thoughts on the villain? I thought it was still a good villain, but it could have been a little better. What do you think, Trill?
I liked what was his face? From voiced by Jason Lee in the first Incredibles. What was Syndrome? I like Syndrome because he was over the top. This villain wasn't as much over the top, I feel like. But I didn't mind it all that much. I mean, the twist was what it was. It was predictable, but it was serviceable. The movie was more about the family, I feel like, and, you know, their adjustment rather than the battle versus the villain. So that worked fine, but I could have used with maybe a more dynamic, splashy villain just for the sequel. But it worked. I mean, I didn't hate it. It just wasn't anything special or incredible.
I think that's definitely the biggest complaint, is that I wish it was more original, because that specific motivation, too, of Evelyn's motivation was that her parents were obviously, her father anyway, dependent on superheroes. And when Robert broke into their house, superhero couldn't come to rescue them, and her parents both died. And so that she hates superheroes for that. And that's sort of an overdone villain story, I think. Like, bad childhood experience leads to lifelong hatred. It's like an X-Men thing. It's like a every other superhero movie type thing. Like, I don't know. It was just very heavily telegraphed, especially because they showed that sequence, what, like half an hour in? So you're like, okay, one of these two is definitely the villain. And then they try and disarm you later by showing that Elastigirl fighting the screen slaver while the other, the sister and brother are both watching it on their screen. So you're like, okay. Maybe it's not one of them, but then they telegraph it back later throughout the movie.
Yeah, which was a nice little twist. But even then, I was still like, oh, well, there was something up with that shit.
Exactly,
there
yeah.
There was something going on there.
It's also a kid's movie, so I didn't rate it too harshly there because I feel like that's a twist that would maybe blow a kid's mind.
It's true, yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point. And Pixar's a tough grade for me because it is a kid's movie, but at this point I feel like Pixar's not viewed that way anymore. So, I mean, that might be an unfair thing for me to do when I'm rating it, and I'm grading it because while it is made for kids, they're just not kids' movies anymore. Like, they're viewed as Oscar contenders for Best Picture. You know, yeah. I mean, Coco was almost nominated for Best Picture, and many before. I mean, Up was nominated for Best Picture. I think Toy Story 3 was. WALL-E was controversial for not being nominated for Best Picture. So I kind of looked at it both angles. But still, I mean, it's great. Like, you know, this is one of those ones where I really can't say anything bad about it. You know, it's just I couldn't put it up as high as some other ones. Like, for me, and for how we try to do a rating system, and I obviously follow it the closest, is that once a movie hits 90 for me, I rate it based on comparative to other movies. So it's not like it hit its 90, and then I had to slot it a little lower than some other Pixar ones. But still great. Loved it. And anything else here before we wrap up? I told you this was not going to be a long one. Well, we got to talk Jack-Jack.
Yeah, I was going to say Jack-Jack was
too much. Too much Jack-Jack.
Wow.
Jack-Jack.
Really? What? Well, you saw it in a smaller theater. You didn't see it with as many people as we did, so I wonder if that affected it, because our theater went absolutely fucking crazy every time. But that's interesting. Okay.
Oh, I like Jack-Jack, but I just felt like it was just too much Jack-Jack.
Ooh, is this as a dad bias right
now? Let me dip into the Jeff brain here and recall an old podcast episode where Trill Bolland said Jack-Jack is for normies.
Ooh, did that play? You definitely
that's
said
an
that.
Old Trill Bolland quote. Jack-Jack is for normies.
You know what? I'm going to come out and say this. I'm not a big Jack-Jack guy. He's like the Mater character of the Incredibles franchise. Like, the normies love him. He's like, oh, he's a cute little baby. It's like the uncultured Pixar fans love Jack-Jack because he's cute and he's a baby. But if you're refined and sophisticated and more of an Incredibles connoisseur, you want to know more about the relationship between Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl. I think that's where the real intrigue lays.
Jack-Jack is obviously that character that people love because he's cute and he's very powerful and they're rooting for him. I'm trying to find a comparison to another movie. So I don't blame, like, if you're in the theater,
Groot.
I didn't have many people in my showing and people were going crazy because Jack-Jack was kicking ass. I think that would probably be a cool moment, maybe factor into, you know, the decision. But I would have rather seen some of the other kids kick some butt rather than Jack-Jack. I feel like the other kids didn't get a whole lot of screen time in their superhero costumes. They devoted a dating side plot to Violet, and Dash didn't seem to get much, but Jack-Jack kind of come into his own. No, I get it, though, because I think after the first Incredibles, there was like a DVD short that was based around Jack-Jack. He's like that, yep. You know, really well-loved tertiary character. So they had to do that. I mean, that was fan service, I think. So I understand the decision, but I just felt like it was a little too much Jack-Jack.
It's a big call. I think they didn't give Mr. Incredible a lot of action either. I think he had like one punch thrown in the entire movie, if that, like towards the guy Brick or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I felt like that was part of the plot, though. I mean, it was, you know, him kind of struggling to adjust to not being a superhero. And so I didn't take too much off there.
They didn't overdo the Edna.
These are minor gripes, by the way. I gave the movie I didn't take off 10 points. It's too much Jack-Jack. I just gave it a 90 because I'd have Incredibles 1 at a 95. And some of those 5 points are like the magic of seeing Incredibles for the first time baked in, because when that came out, like, that was my favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Bar none.
I thought they'd overdo it on the
Edna for sure.
On the Edna, and they didn't, which is nice. Also, the house they were in was awesome, and you can actually visit the house at Disneyland California Adventure. It's now the Pixar Pier. It's called the Incredicoaster. So you can see that. It's based a lot off Incredibles 2. So if you love Incredibles, go do that, folks. I don't have free tickets anymore. It's kind of disappointing.
Isn't it disappointing that Brad Bird waited this long to do it, but he was making Tomorrowland and Ghost Protocol?
Jesus fucking, my lord. Tomorrowland is such a fucking steaming pile of shit. It's so crazy that he also didn't do Force Awakens either.
Yeah.
Because of Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland is so bad. Actually, I was called a Disney shill the other day. I must say that I like Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland's a great movie.
Yo, it's amazing.
Same with John Carter from Mars, folks.
What do you think of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, another Brad Bird joke?
Oh, I love Ghost Protocol. The new Mission Impossible have been amazing. I am so pumped.
I like Rogue
for the new Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Though, Trill, will you be disappointed if friction does not make its way into the movie?
Let me work one thing in there. Having done The Incredibles and just Ratatouille by themselves, Brad Bird could make a ride share, and I would be fine with him.
True, yeah.
That gets him free pass from criticism for me. I will be absolutely devastated if they do not work in at least the instrumental version of Friction. I don't, you know, maybe it'd be too heavy handed to put the lyrics in there, but you know that
he rock, says the lyrics, not in song.
Tom Cruise looks to the camera, is like, "Get down with the friction." We both know you need them.
Also, I mean, I honestly, this is, I mean, call it hyperbole, call me out, call it recency bias. Henry Cavill, when he gets his fist ready to punch the guy in the bathroom and they do the gun cocking sound effect with both his fists, it's one of the best trailer moments I've ever seen in my life. It's fucking amazing. It's amazing.
And the line before that, too, where she's like, "You prefer a scalpel, I prefer a hammer." And that's like, dun, dun.
Yeah. Oh. The trailers are awesome for that movie. They're great. I can't wait. I know we've talked about Incredibles, but I'm very excited for that Mission Impossible episode.
Yeah. The New Yorker reviewed Incredibles. And it was kind of a weird review. There was an excerpt of it, and I don't know if we'll read it, but it was, how would you guys describe it? It was just kind of weird and off-putting.
I think that's a good segue into our next...
Wait, I just thought of something. Was it by the same guy who hated Avengers Infinity War?
Oh, the horny guy?
I don't know who the guy is. I'm not gonna...
It's the bearded guy. Is it the beard guy?
Yeah.
Is it him who wrote that?
I don't know.
Oh, fuck. All right, yeah, let's pause.
Hang on, we're looking this up. Looking this up, New Yorker, good radio. We're still talking. Jeff, Trill Ballins. People mentioned, by the way, that they still can't figure out our voices sometimes, which is very funny. I don't know. Can't find it. Richard Brody did say the authoritarian populism of Incredibles 2. That's the guy that did the Infinity War thing.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote it. Anyway, all right. We'll look it up. We'll have an answer for that later. Who wrote it? God, fucking Richard Brody, man. All right, so that's Incredibles 2. 91 from myself, 91 from the listeners, 93 from Ken Jack, 90 from Trill Ballins. Great Pixar. So, Ken Jack, you have to step out of the studio for a quick second. We're having an interview here. Not enough seats in this room. So you're going to step out for a second. You'll be back, though. We do have an interview, though. All right, here we go. Interview time. Really happy to have a guest with us right now, Buddy Pounds from Cinema Pigs. Buddy, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to be here, guys.
You built up quite a reputation in the critic community as being the horny movie review guy. Today, The New Yorker, they published a review that seems to be encroaching on your territory, and it's with Incredibles 2. Any thoughts you want to share with us?
Two is company, but three is a crowd. And a lot of fun if you know what you're doing.
I don't... I don't really know what that means. But let's get into it, though, with Incredibles 2. What did you think? A lot of people like it. The horny guy from New Yorker, I'm not really sure what the fuck he thought of it, but he was very horny. What did you think?
It's a tender story about a man and a woman rekindling their romance through familial strife. If you thought that the sexual energy was ripening in Incredibles 1, your toes will be numb watching the sequel.
I don't really think we... took that away. Trill, did you? I don't think that's what we took.
I didn't get that either.
Watching Elastigirl stare longingly in Mr. Incredible reminded me of the 5 days I spent in Tuscany. What can I remember from it? We drank a lot of Lambrusco, and we were only 22. So naive, yet in our raw sexual primes. I'll never forget Raffaella and what she said to me.
Buddy, can we get back to the movie?
Yes. Central to the plot was the relationship between Elastigirl and Evelyn, who turned out to be the villain. However, the chemistry between these two animated angels isn't even on the periodic table yet. I had to take a cold shower upon returning to my pied-à-terre.
Buddy, we have to wrap this up, actually. Got to get Ken Jett back in here. Final thoughts on the movie?
Oh, and I'd give to just have a half-second sniff of Elastigirl's super suit.
Okay, now we're done here. We're done. You can,
who are these
you
cards? Oh, no.
Let Ken Jack back in here. Buddy Pounds, everybody, from Cinema Pigs. Wow.
Yeah, some weird reviews going around with Incredibles 2, so I don't think we'll have him back. I don't know. I mean,
see, Buddy Pounds, I don't know. Buddy Pounds may return.
Have you heard of Buddy Pounds before, Ken Jack?
Yeah, the name rings a bell.
Did you recognize him?
The face, it seemed very familiar. I think I've seen him on the forums I go to a lot. I've Hot Calamari Mommy, I think I've seen him there before. Or tentickles.com. That's the face just looks familiar. I think I've seen it on an avatar before.
Okay, Buddy Pounds, thanks again. Next. Next segment. Here we go. We talked about this Sunday. Trill mentioned it as a potential skit, and I don't know. I liked it enough to make it a skit. Okay, so here we go. We have about 20 people. We're going to go down the list. You guys at home voted. We're going to debate if these characters ever had sex or not. We got 20 options. First up, Alfred Pennyworth from, we'll say, the Michael Caine Alfred. The Michael Caine Alfred. Has Michael Caine's Alfred had sex?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's well-traveled. He's traveled the world before settling down. I bet he did really well in his younger years. So, yeah, I think he has.
I think he has, but he paid for it. I don't think he's ever had, like, non-paid-for sex.
Well, we know the Alfred from Batman and Robin was married because he has that autographed picture on his desk from his wife for some fucking reason.
Master Wayne, they took down Backpage.com. It's a fucking travesty, Master Wayne.
Oh, boy. The listeners agreed. 79% said Alfred did have sex. So they do agree. All right, Anakin Skywalker. Kendrick, you have a theory on this one. I'll play devil's advocate and say he has had sex because he had the kids. Trill, do you have any creative theory on here?
No, I don't. I think he, he didn't adhere to the Jedi code and follow the path of the dark side and had sex, which is that's the gateway to being a Sith, actually. Just having sex. Like, you do that, you're done. So
I think he hasn't had sex, and I think Luke and Leia are actually the child of Rush Clovis, who they show in Star Wars The Clone Wars as being a love interest of, Queen Amidala Padme. They show her as being a love interest. I think he's also a big-time banker. So he's like a finance bro, and his name is Rush. I mean, how do you not fuck that?
Rush Clovis sounds like a delivery option on, like, a pharmacy website.
Yeah. I think for sure those kids are not his. They should put him on Maury one day. Is Maury still around, right?
Yeah, Maury's still around. Okay, listeners, 81.8% said yes, Anakin Skywalker did have sex. Next up, Buzz Lightyear, Star Command. This is a close vote. Buzz Lightyear has a love interest in Jesse. At the end of three, Jesse, you know, kind of made Buzz blush a little bit when he had that Spanish mode. He danced with her. So Buzz Lightyear. Did Buzz Lightyear knock boots?
As a dad, I'm going to say no. I'm going to keep these toys innocent. These toys did not have sex. None of them did.
None of them. Okay. We do have another one later.
Keep your filth out of my toy story.
I don't think so. Although I feel like saying no is disrespecting our troops somehow. So I'm actually going to say yes. Buzz Lightyear did have sex.
Buzz Lightyear is the original space army.
Yeah, he's in the space force.
He is a part of this. He is the original space force. Okay, another Buzz. Oh, sorry, listeners. 58% said no. Buzz Lightyear. We have wholesome listeners. They said no, like you, Trill. Okay, Buzz from Home Alone. Buzz from Home Alone. He's a bit older in the second one. Keep that in mind. He's got a girlfriend. Yeah. Kevin said woof. Buzz from Home Alone.
I'm going to go with a no for this one, too. I don't have any explanation. I just don't want your filth in my John Hughes movies.
I feel like I put this one on the same level as Jack Sparrow. People were pissed off at us about Jack Sparrow, by the way. People were like, no, Jack Sparrow said, so what, are you kidding me? Did you watch Pirates? Did you see him, all those women that slapped him? I don't think that means anything. I think Jack Sparrow, see, you said he was too busy, Trill. I think anyone that talks about like women or like sex and like stuff like that that much, they're hedging. They're hedging.
I can see that. Yeah,
had sex. That's also what I feel about Buzz from Home Alone. He's such a hardo that he tries to seem like he's better than he is, and he's hedging for the fact that he's just, you know, never had sex.
Something about his face just screams to me like three times a day dry jerk guy, like never fucks. Like huge porn guy, like goes to the expos type person to get signatures and pictures. That face just, it's not a fucking face.
I mean, he has a tarantula as a pet.
That's, oh yeah, see,
no, somehow, like, and look, for the movies, he's very young, so no, but like in later life,
second one he's definitely old enough. He's definitely older in the second one.
I just know. I mean, just tarantula. I don't know. Just John Hughes, man. Keep it PG.
Listeners, 71% said no. Very wholesome listeners. We already said Captain America the other day. We said no way. Robbie, though, said he thinks he has. Robbie said he thinks. And Devlin said Nomad has definitely had sex.
Who?
Nomad, the bearded Captain America. But I say he has 75% of his life. He's either been in hiding on the run or he's been frozen.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's had. Oh, and also a really skinny dweeb that no one liked. Yeah. So I mean, find me a time where he'd have sex.
Do you think the procedure that buffed him up, like increased the size of his
to make it
hog?
like a proper proportion?
Kind of like when in downsizing when Matt Damon looked at his penis after he got shrunk.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can still have sex if you have like a 5'4" dude's dick.
Oh no! I mean, I'm just one. This is just a general question. It's not going to change my answer. I think no. I think Captain America is too focused on being Captain America.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree.
Listeners agree too. 65% say no. All right, here's another one. Dr. Evil. I say no.
We saw him have sex.
He has in the
he did
number
it in,
two.
Yeah.
He had sex with Frau Lissina.
Yeah. Ah, fuck! You're right.
So
they
yes,
they have that big romp where like he has like the shirt with no nipples on it, like the nipples are part is cut out of the shirt.
Right. Oh man, I forgot about that. That's unfortunate.
By the way, I just sent you guys a picture of what Buzz looks like now. It's horrifying. He looks like Chun-Li.
Oh yeah, no, this was like a viral story last year, actually.
Oh,
Chun-Li. Came for the Pawn Stars movie. Okay, so I was wrong on Dr. Evil. Fuck man, 64% said yes. Edward Scissorhands. This one, I mean, this has got to be a no. This logistically just doesn't make any sense. Also, he's obviously not jerking off.
Yeah. How does he
It's
come?
Just a no. It's his characterization. His whole characterization is that he's just a very pure soul. So he desire not the pleasures of the flesh. He just wants to cut hedges and live up in his creepy house.
And scissor people. So maybe he does like sex.
He makes it snow every now and then in California, and that's how old Winona's character knows he's still up there.
It's true. I think no, though, either. Also, how does he come? Because he has to come, right?
He was created in a lab. He could just be like a Ken doll.
Just no genitals at all?
I don't want to get too deep in this, but I'm just saying, like, I don't...
He's like
I don't think...
He's a fucking Unsullied from Game of Thrones. It's literally how you're describing him.
That doesn't matter. I just don't think he's a sexual being. It's not in his characterization.
All right. Well, how does he pee then? He has no balls.
You're
just creating more questions, dude.
This is the ultimate Ken Jack segment. I love it. And the ultimate, like, Trill terrified for his life segment. Perfect. Every Napoleon Dynamite character. Ken Jack, you're taking the reins on this one because you said the other day, no chance.
Yeah. Zero people in that movie have had sex. Like, maybe.
Maybe Rico. He has that love interest.
I could see him tricking someone into it, but I don't know. I don't think anybody. Just everybody in the movie was just so, like, ugh.
I think his brother had sex. What was his name?
Oh, Ken or something? Kevin?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. What was his name? Yeah, he did at the end. He had the girlfriend at the end. His internet girlfriend.
What a fucking forgettable movie. Like, I mean, we remember the general character of Napoleon Dynamite.
Pedro.
Quotes, but, like, overall, if you told me to describe the plot of Napoleon Dynamite, I don't think I could do it.
Oh, it was...
What a pop cultural force it was in 2004.
Kip. That's Kip, right. Yeah.
Oh, PFT said that he thinks Napoleon Dynamite fucked the llama.
I mean, there was a lot of sexual tension in their scenes together.
Yeah.
He's throwing food at her face. So in some circles, that's...
Listeners only said 56% said yes. Said no. Edward Scissorhands was 71%.
That's
no,
too close.
Here's... This is the biggest landslide vote of them all. This one was the biggest no. Finn from Star Wars. Our listeners said no. 79% of the vote. I don't know where Finn would ever have time to... I think Rey was like one of the first women outside of Captain Phasma that he ever met.
Well, there's women in the Stormtrooper Corps, right?
Okay, so he's probably the first woman, like, outside of...
Non-military cadet person.
Yeah.
I think probably not.
I mean, you can't even take your fucking helmet off there. I mean, he got yelled at for just taking his helmet off. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah, you're right.
Finn...
Depends on how young he was in that Stormtrooper, First Order Trooper army.
I feel like they probably...
Emiko would know here.
I think they probably give you something to, like, bring your hormones down or your testosterone or whatever just to, like, make sure all the cadets aren't horny, I'm assuming. But he did have a lot of game he was spitting at Rey throughout the movie. Like, I feel like he had a decent amount of swagger,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, you have a boyfriend, cute boyfriend?
That's, what if Rian Johnson came out and defended The Last Jedi? Like, people hate the Rose and Finn storyline. I don't even like, and I love that movie. And people are always like, well, why did Rose, like, come back and save and all that shit? Like, you got to think Finn was going all out.
Yeah.
Like, he was willing to die for...
For a fuck.
Just a second girl that he met. Or a third girl behind Leia. So, yeah, it's just craziness. So, Finn, big no from the listeners. We'll do these two back to back. Because this is the easiest no in the book for me. Frodo and Samwise from Lord of the Rings.
Well, Sandman kids.
Eventually, though, right?
At the end of the third one, they show like a clip of when Frodo leaves for the shores. They show Sam and Rosie, and they're like three kids or something.
Well, Frodo's a big no.
Yeah, Frodo's 100% no.
Yeah, Frodo's a no for me.
Big time. Not even a chance.
I mean, there's just no chance. Frodo offered nothing. He was a pushover. It's a fucking pushover. Him, like, I would never deliver that ring. I'd just, like, end the world.
Frodo's like one of the guys that texts the girl the next day, like, what if I had kissed you? Would you have kissed me?
What if he, in delivering that ring, kind of destroyed him for life, too? So
yeah.
After that, he'd have no motivation to have sex, I don't feel like.
I mean, I feel like in movies, too, like, that one especially, well, do they fly away?
At the end of the movie?
Yeah.
They take a boat to the place where, like, all the elves live.
Yeah, I forget. Man, the last thing I'd want to do is get on a fucking boat after that journey. Like,
it was like 3 years after the journey or something.
Give me the...
How long did the journey take, Ken Jack?
The entire movie? Like, the entire series?
No, I just mean, like in canon, how long from the start of the Fellowship to the end of Return of the King? How many years do you think it was?
I think it was like 2 years, maybe? Something like that. Huh. It's nothing crazy.
So, yeah, someone said the movies happen over the course of 3 years, so that would make sense if that was... Man, that's the last thing I don't want to do when I'm up on that lava mountain with the only person I've seen for the last year and a half staring me an inch away from my face. Fucking Rudy. Yeah, that would be just not the way to end there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Jar Jar, we said no. Listeners voted. 62% said no on Jar Jar.
Jar Jar probably gives some mean toppy, though. The tongue is like...
Oh, my
God. He's a 3 foot long tongue. That's all I'm saying. No one
PFT,
has a dick that long.
PFT loved that one, and he said he agrees that Jar Jar is a complete loser, but he said he has probably paid for sex before.
Yeah, or gets paid for to do sex.
I don't think he's done anything. I think he is the definition of an outcast loser. He is the biggest fucking loser you can possibly find. That's part of the reason why I hate that guy so much. Like, that's why that character stinks. There is nothing redeeming about him. He's a loser. He loses his way into a position with his, like, military. Like,
failing upwards, dude.
Yeah, he does. Shout out Barstool, failing upwards. Little plug. He stinks.
But he's a senator, so you're right. He probably did pay for sex.
Oh.
100%.
You guys hear about the politics?
Folks, the politics. Folks. Have you heard about it?
You guys hear
Have
about
you
that?
Have you heard about this?
Devlin, I don't know, man. Devlin did
a skit
for the draft show. He said, Bill Simmons like, you guys hear about this politics thing?
I like this pop culture stuff, guys. You ever hear about the politics? Wild. It's so weird.
Continue, Trill.
I think Jar Jar probably has had sex.
Yeah. I know personally dumber people than Jar Jar that have had sex, so I feel like it's possible.
Yeah, and I don't feel like Jar Jar was that big of a loser.
He was a senator.
He was an annoying character for sure, but you know, he found his place in the world. I think we can be happy for him.
Two more. First one. PETA from the Hunger Games.
No. Hard no.
You said no the other day, right?
Ooh, wait.
I think I said yeah the other day because I think he eventually ends up with Katniss and probably has a family.
What is he again? He's like a bread maker?
He's a bread maker. That's what Pia...
A baker?
No, I think specifically... I just remember they talk about... Yes, I remember they speak talking about it in the books and the movies a lot, that way he makes bread. So maybe Oprah? He becomes like the, you know, young side piece for Oprah?
Well, she sees him throwing away the bread.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he's like throwing the bread in the water and she's poor and is like, what the fuck, man?
This is really fucked up for them to do in such a poor district.
Yeah, that was real messed up. Last one. The Riddler. The Riddler from the Jim Carrey Batman and Robin.
No, dude. No way.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. No. Convince me why not.
Because I think he's too mentally preoccupied with his riddles and trying to bring down the bat.
But what about before that, too? He was just obsessed with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And so,
like, you know, he just single-minded focus, kind of like Jack Sparrow.
He's just asexual.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these characters just don't have like well-rounded lives.
You never forget that.
I mean, not me. Like, I don't think that's asexual, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like a lot of these characters just are preoccupied with their villains, and that's what you know, keeps them busy.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I'll go with you. You convinced me. I'm saying no.
The listeners for PETA said no, 62%, and then for the Riddler, 51% said no. They think he's like a mad game or something. That was an awful character.
Very bad.
That was just Jim Carrey playing the Joker.
Yeah.
Same with Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. And don't forget, never forget that Bruce Wayne's inability to just talk to Edward Nygma for like 2 seconds fucked that whole movie up.
It's true.
Like, just he him being a dick. And the same thing happened with Poison Ivy. He had a chance to, I mean, really talk her off the ledge a little bit. She would have never broke Mr. Freeze out of jail. Now, granted, Alfred would have died from McGregor's disease because he would have never gotten the serum. But, I mean, come on. It's old, man. This is old anyway. So that's our segment there. A little fun game. Got some listener input. Last thing. Do a couple listener questions. We said we would the other day. And then we'll wrap up this podcast. We'll start it out with this. What was the first movie you went to by yourself, and how exhilarated or nervous were you for the movie? That's tough for me to remember, like, what the last one I saw by myself was, but how exhilarated.
Wait, the last one or the first one?
Wait, so.
The first one, first one.
Is this by yourself, like as in just me, or is this by yourself as in my parents aren't coming, but I'm going with a group of friends?
No, just you, by yourself.
Ooh.
It's an easy one for us to think to, like, at least attempt because we've all done it. The separate movie, the by yourself movie thing a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I went to a movie by myself until I was like 23 or 24. And that movie was that Bob Dylan movie where I think it's like I'm Not Here or I'm Not There. A bunch of people are playing Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And I don't know how excited. I just wanted to see the movie. It wasn't that big of a deal, guys. I don't want to brag that I have the ability to be on my own, but. Yeah, but I do remember going to see a movie without my parents for the first time. That was Hercules, the Disney animated classic.
Ooh.
And that was super exciting because you're, you know, with three other friends, parents are dropping you off at the movie theater and they pick you up. You look at the show times, add in a little time for the trailers right there at the front door. But you always got to say, give us an extra 20, 30 for arcade games.
Yeah,
there used to be arcades in these movies. Play a little arcade game. That was the most fun part.
Yeah.
The movie that I saw was Slumdog Millionaire. That was the first one I went to just by myself.
I think mine's way newer. I think it's The Martian. It's the first one I ever saw by myself.
I wasn't nervous. I wasn't nervous, but I was like, that was 2008? Yeah, it was winter 2008. That was before I graduated high school. So I was 17. And I thought people would recognize me and think I'm a loser. But like, I was the only, it was a thing I had to do there. I was excited to see it. I went and saw it. I loved it. It's one of my favorite movies. Definitely like top 20, 25. And Yeah, it was a good experience. Now I do it all the time.
I think going by yourself is one of those things where it's like, you know, jumping into the water. Like, as soon as you do it once, you're comfortable with it, like, for infinity. Like, you just, getting over that lump is rough.
It's like going to a sit-down restaurant by yourself.
Yeah.
There's a point in your life where you're very self-conscious. I mean, you know, you're self-conscious all your life. Who are you kidding? But you're very, very self-conscious. For me, I, like, turned 24, and I started to realize that nobody really gives a shit about me. Or what I'm doing, or is like paying attention. Like, so when you're 18, you're like, oh, this movie theater employee's looking at me thinking I'm a nerd seeing a movie by myself, when in reality, they're just looking at the clock waiting for their shift to end.
Yeah.
Same with restaurants. They don't give a fuck. So getting over that hump, you're right. And same with pooping in public or like in a public bathroom. I never took a single shit in my high school, guys.
I don't think I did either, actually, when I think about it.
I held it in all day because I was too self-conscious. Somebody would catch me taking a little dookie coming out of the stall and tell the entire school I was doodling in the bathroom. Guess what? Nobody gives a fuck.
I would be always terrified.
I'm an awesome public shitter.
I would always be terrified of being in the bathroom for too long, even if I was just like pissing too long. I'm like, they're going to think I'm pooping. I'm going to come back from the bathroom. They're going to think I shitted.
Dude, I walked into the bathroom, like I was a senior in high school, went into the bathroom, got that bathroom pass, whatever. There's a teacher taking a piss in a urinal with fucking both hands against the wall.
What the fuck?
Just like taking a break on the wall, just dangling into the urinal, taking a piss. And I was like, damn, that's badass.
I never shit in high school. And I don't do it.
Period, or just in the high school?
I never shit once in high school. It was all built up till college. No, in like the high school itself, or like middle school, anything like that, I always just held it in. Neutral.
Did you ever see someone at a urinal where they pull their pants down to their ankles?
Oh yeah,
that always.
I've seen that
out
in airports a couple times. Another place I will not poop, the airport. I will not do that in the airport. I will never do it on an airplane. I will just suffer. Actually, the next topic literally has to do with shitting, by the way, but we'll get to that in a second.
At O'Hare, they have those like gross covers on the seats spin around.
Is
it O'Hare or Midway? I think it's O'Hare.
No, it's definitely O'Hare. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm like, I'm not doing that. Not today. I have done it on an airplane before.
An
international flight. Like, no other option.
Yeah, that's tough.
But it's not pleasant. Let me tell you that. Nothing's better than getting home court advantage.
There was a kid. One last story about school and bathroom humor. There was a kid back in, this is what always freaked me, this, like, I always stuck in my mind, second or third grade, we were in the gym class, got a little quiet, we were about to do something with like one of those parachute things, like, you know, those big things you'd expand, and he like leaned up to stand up and he farted really loudly. And honest to God, until I moved back in, and they still may have done it in high school, when I moved in eighth grade from Connecticut, they always called him, they always like either called him like a joke about farting or like brought up the fact that he farted like 6 years prior in gym class. And that just always terrified me. I never wanted to be, I mean, that stuck with him for years. So that was a tough one. Didn't need the fart.
Called little fart boy.
I used to fall asleep in study hall all the time and I was terrified of falling asleep and farting. Being
or you wake up in a jolt and you fart.
Have we talked about this before, how every high school has an urban legend of somebody taking a monster dump in one of the girls' bathrooms?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff.
More poop content.
Folks, we're the movie podcast.
Well, here's a movie question having to do with poop. Would you rather be thirsty for an entire movie, like hungover parched, where you can barely move your mouth, I mean, you got cotton balls in your mouth, or would you rather have to take a shit the entire movie, been like uncomfortable, but you can't do either? What would you rather have?
This is an easy one. I mean, you would rather be thirsty than be uncomfortable having to take a shit. Now, the better question would be, is would you rather be uncomfortably thirsty or have a mild urge to take a shit, where it's just like, I could shit now and it's on my mind, or I could just ignore it
until it builds up?
Yeah, because if you have like an uncomfortable urge to take a shit, there's no other greater human panic button in your mind than when you got a dookie. Like, it's just nothing matters at that point other than you getting to a bathroom and just letting it fly.
Yeah, I think I'll take medium level wanting to shit over being thirsty. I think that's like one of those things where just all you can focus on is being like, just like your fucking body disintegrating.
Because I could go with like, yeah, I could poop right now, but I could also hold it in. But if my body was like, dude, you got to get to the bathroom or else like you're going to, your gallbladder, you don't got that anymore. So it's it's just, it's going to be a bad time.
Yeah, that's tough. When I don't know about you guys. When I'm thirsty, I am thirsty. Like bad. Like I can't think about anything else. So that may ruin it for me. Where I can probably hold in going to the bathroom. Not pee, though. We all know that, folks. I cannot hold in a pee during a movie. I think it's the position of the seat. I got up for Incredibles only once, but I did get up for Incredibles. Could not hold, which is terrible because I always have a large Diet Coke, so I'm drinking. Mm-hmm. And I am typically, because of the old Weight Watchers, I typically don't eat throughout the day before I go to the movies so I can have popcorn. And so I just scarf it down during the previews, and then I have to pee immediately. Really unfortunate.
Wow. That salt should dry you up.
Fascinating story.
Wow. Fuck you. Fuck you. All right, last question. And then Trill's got to go back and eat his egg rolls.
Yeah, bitch.
What actor or actress would you most want to get drunk with? And I don't mean like blacked out, like vomiting, but, you know, have a couple drinks. You know, you get some fun stories that you probably wouldn't get if you guys were sober. Some insight. This is a really good question.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the three people you'd want to have dinner with, which I think people actually, this is not like it's, I mean, no offense, person that asked this. It's not like it's the most original question in the world, though I'm sure they weren't claiming that. But this is a good one. This is really hard for me.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, I was going to say Paul Rudd probably for me.
Yes, that was my really? Answer. It's 100% yeah. Paul Rudd.
Chris Pratt probably up there too, Paul but Rudd. Paul Rudd would be my number one pick.
I feel like Chris Pratt, if you hung out with him, he, as much as I love him, is like not like a real life human, if that makes sense. He's like, yeah, that's so cool. Let me talk to you about my charity type guy. Like, not like, like, hey, why don't we tell you this story about this time in high school type guy? Like, I think that's what Paul Rudd is, and I think that would be way more fun.
Jeff, didn't you see Paul Rudd was one of the nicest guys you've worked, like,
well, Chris
in?
Pratt was, too.
Yeah, who came in without, like, anybody with him?
Gyllenhaal, right?
Like, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Gyllenhaal would be another one, I think.
Yeah, he Jake Gyllenhaal walks whenever he goes to an interview with like a big TV. He may have like one or two sometimes, but GMA, he walked by himself. Oscar Isaac also walked by himself before he, you know, in a blizzard. And I said to him, I'm like, you're not going to be able to do this by yourself after Star Wars. And he goes, nah. He goes, I got to enjoy it now. I'm sure they'll make me go with people. But yeah, they're both pretty cool. Paul Rudd's great. Chris Pratt's awesome. But Paul Rudd is great. Paul Rudd's like probably my favorite person in Hollywood.
I think maybe Paul Colbert. Rudd.
Stephen Colbert?
He's not really an actor, but or I guess he is kind of. He was in The Hobbits.
I mean, he acted on The Colbert Show, too.
It's true.
Colbert Report.
Keanu.
Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu.
I don't know how the Keanu one would go. That'd be interesting. I think getting drunk with Jennifer Lawrence would probably be pretty fun. She is.
Yeah.
She's a loose cannon even when she's sober.
Jane Lynch.
Shout out to Still saying that Phantom Thread sucked.
That was
Nick Offerman.
Yeah, Nick Offerman might be really cool. Yeah. Both of them, though. Her and Megan Mullally. I think hanging out with both of them as a couple would be real. That would be awesome, actually. Polar or Faye? I feel like both of them.
Yeah, Tina Fey, Polar. The Rock would be tough because I don't think he can get drunk. I think the alcohol just like disintegrates in his body. Yeah, man, that's a really good question.
I'm a Gosling.
There's a lot. Oh, I don't know. The Goss God, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't like the Goss God because I love the Goss God, but he's always an interesting one. Whenever we saw him and in his interviews, he's a very dry humor guy.
Mm.
I love him, but I don't know. That'd be an interesting one.
Who would be like the most wild?
I feel like when we talk about like nice actors, it's just like actors who will take the time to humor me. Like if I ever met them to like make me feel like I matter, because I don't. I feel like Paul Rudd would humor me. Like he'd pretend to be interested in my story. I'll be like, hey, Paul, like. Do you know I never took a shit in high school? And be like, oh, man, that's awesome. Me too. He'd be lying to make me feel better. In his mind would be like, I shadow over my high school.
So I told him, this is the two things that we talked about. I told him that my buddy Parker back in high school for like a guy's talent competition, like it was a joke, like fundraiser senior year. Parker said that, like, who's your hero? It was like a serious question. He said, Paul Rudd. I told him that story and he loved that. And then him and I just talked about Tim and Eric for like 10, 15 minutes. So I think it's right. It's right there, Trill. I think that's definitely what you get. The South Park guys might be fun to get drunk with.
That'd be fun. What about Jack Black?
I don't know. Jack Black's a very loud. Come on the show, Jack Black.
A drinking guy.
Jack Black. He'd be a little nuts.
Simon Pegg.
That's his character. You never know.
That's Simon Pegg. No, Jack Black is a very loud person.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I hate that. I'm sorry. That sounds like I'm stunting on you. I'm not. Adam Sandler, I loved it. I'd love to just talk to Adam Sandler about like various things. But who did you say before that?
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg would be fun to talk to.
Because he's like a nerd, sort of. Him and Frost are both very like down-to-earth nerdy, I think, and appreciate where they are in life, and are very, I think they'd be very fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Especially drunk.
George Lucas?
What about Patrick Warburton? Patrick Warburton. Sorry.
You and him both just do a Joe off.
Hey, Trill. You want to get a beer with me later? We'll get real drunk.
It's so good.
We can talk about Family Guy or Seinfeld.
No, dude, you're Putty. Aren't you Putty from Seinfeld? Yeah. Let's talk about Putty. What was it like playing Putty? Did you get to meet Jerry? Did you get to meet George? Did you get to meet Elaine? We won't talk about Kramer. Fuck that guy.
I don't really like Kramer. That was more of a Elaine Jerry guy. Hey, Joe, I want to get some beers later. Get drunk, talk about Seinfeld.
Wow, you're so handsome.
Who'd be the worst actor to get drunk with?
Let's not dip into that one.
Tom Cruise.
Nope, not going there.
Well, I don't think he drinks.
I have no idea.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo's another one.
Bad?
No, I'm just kidding. No. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Mark Ruffalo's very down to earth. And him and Hannibal Buress, two other guys. I'm thinking of Tag.
Yeah. Hannibal Buress would be great.
I'm thinking of Tag. I'm more thinking of Mark Ruffalo because whenever I see Jake Johnson, I think of Mark Ruffalo. I don't know why, but I just do.
I see. I'd be intimidated by Hannibal Buress because I feel like he's a genius, and I couldn't think of anything smart enough to have a conversation with him about.
That's a whole different story, by the way. Like when you meet someone that you think is one of the funniest people ever, and you try to it's always towing the line of do I try to be funny? Do I just set them up to make jokes? Like, how does this work? Like, you never want to be in this situation . He's problematic now. That one comedian that talks about meeting Kanye West, and he was playing his stand-up comedy at his party. Like, you never want to be like that type of thing, because we're not Kanye West. We, people are going to tell us all right, stop. Chris Farley with the SNL skit where he's like, yeah, that was really cool, man.
Yeah,
like, remember? Like, awesome. You never want to be like that guy.
I had Michael Jordan. He's like, remember when you played with the Bulls? That was cool.
You won 6 rings. Did you know that? I had that happen to me exactly once, and it was when I had a one-on-one conversation with Chris Rock for maybe 4 minutes, and I was just like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I just need to leave because I'm going to embarrass myself no matter what happens. And I can't try to be funny because I'm 1/50th as funny as he is, if that. And just I didn't know what to say because what do you say to someone that's that brain genius level funny?
Yeah, but that's another thing too, is being a celebrity, I feel like would be horrible. Like, being rich is another thing. I feel like that would be good. I wouldn't mind that, but I would hate having that expectation that I'd have to be funny on command for people. And I see why celebrities get to a point where they, don't want to talk to people, because if you're I got to be on 24/7, that's so mentally draining. I appreciate it from that standpoint. But if you're Chris Rock and a lot of people are hey, tell me a joke or whatever. That shit has to wear on you.
I think that's also why, Will Ferrell, another guy by all accounts, I haven't really gotten to meet him much, but really nice, and everyone loves him. Always willing to do stuff, but I feel like he's one, he's not as public. He is, but he's not, they're very calculated appearances he has. You don't see the real side of him a lot, except when he does interviews. When he's on TV, does interviews, you don't see a lot of that. He's usually in character. Tim and Eric are like that. It's very rare to see a Tim Heidecker straight up interview. There's one I've seen on YouTube, and I think it's because they don't want they want to separate that lifestyle of being funny and them just being normal. They don't want to have to always be on, which I totally get.
I think most Heidecker people would be Tim and Eric guests and all that would also be very funny. Bob Odenkirk, I think, would be blast. Yes. Will Forte, absolute blast.
Jeff Goldblum, aka Chef Goldblum.
Yep. Jeff Goldblum. Oh man, that'd be someone. That must be so much fun.
Oh, Bill Hader would be fun to get here with.
Yeah, what about, he seems so
you
cool.
Guys, you guys didn't say the Lonely Island guys.
Oh, true. That'd be great to hang out with them. But I feel like they're also very new age funny, which would be tough to keep up with.
Who's your favorite Lormy?
Well, you're about to say Jorma.
Lorne Michaels. Yeah, I was about to say Jorma. Jorma's my favorite.
Really?
Jorma. Yeah, I like Jorma.
It's such a disappointment. No, I'm just kidding. I think mine's Kiva, though.
Yeah, I like Kiva, too.
He's like the brains behind the operation.
Well, I guess I'll say Adam Sandberg. I love Lonely Island guys. Adam Sandberg. Yeah, but I agree on the Tim and Eric. I mean, anything Tim and Eric. Ed Begley Jr. from the Cinco phone commercial.
Judd Apatow. He wasn't in that, but I'm just saying in general, he'd probably be fun. Apatow.
Some Judd Apatow thoughts. All right, so that's that segment. That was a fun one. That's the podcast. Anything else? Anything left to talk about? Are we seeing... What are we reviewing next week? We're reviewing Jurassic World?
I hope so.
I think we are. Hang on a second. We are, right?
Yes. Question mark.
Come on, got to log into the old tweet machine again. We have it pinned on our profile. I think it's Jurassic World. Last buzzer yep, beater here. World. Are we excited about Jurassic World? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I don't have high expectations, though.
Yeah, I think I echo that. Yeah. I'm not like thinking it's going to be a cinematic masterpiece. If it's fun, or if it's supposed to be more suspenseful, right? So if it does what it's billed to do well, I will enjoy myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only hope is that I don't walk out of the theater saying it was better than Jurassic Park like I did with the Jurassic World 1.
Do you want to say it's better than Jurassic World leaving the theater?
Yeah, that would be great. If it was better than Jurassic World, it's fine. I didn't hate Jurassic World as much as a lot of people did.
What if it's better than Fallen Kingdom? Or that was the second one, right?
Lost World?
Lost World, yeah.
I think it probably will be.
Yeah.
All those JP2 and JP3 were bad, so
JP3 was better than JP2, I think, though.
JP2 and 3 sounds like your neighbor's two kids. The same name, so you're just talking about them.
It's like George Foreman's kids, just JP1, JP2.
It's like, why did you name your kids that way? Well, we're remarried, and all the kids have the same name, so just weird.
We were supposed to review Tag this week. Did you know that? I just learned that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
We'll review Tag in 2 weeks when we review Sicario. Maybe we'll talk Uncle Drew. We'll probably do Sicario and Tag. Jurassic World 2 coming out this week. That's what we're going to review next week. We'll get to a Reddit thing on Sunday, maybe. Other than that, for Ken Jack and Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday night.
Got the soul, just when the world's saying they got no hope, here comes the love, we got audio. I'm flying high, superhero, that's on my chest with my Marilyn Monroe, feel like a star, cause we got audio. I'll give you